Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Glad to be here this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Glad the heater's working.
Amen.
Everybody except Miss Ruth. Well, it was hot for a while, and we was bellyaching about that, so we need to be thankful it's cool outside. Amen. Acts chapter 15, let's start reading in verse number 36. The Bible says, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you so much for life. Thank you for health. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here. Thank you for the opportunity we have, the freedom we have to go to church. We thank you, Lord, for this place. Thank you, Lord, for every person that's present. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us now to be focused on the Word of God. Lord, I pray that something spiritual would happen here this morning. But we don't need the flesh. We don't need the world. We don't need the devil. We need your Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts. I pray that all of us would have ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have for us. Help us to receive it, Lord. Whatever changes we need to make, whatever decisions we need to make, God, help us to do it. When we leave here today, I pray each one of us can say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, that we could have eternal life as a free gift. Please help me now to preach, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here in the verses that we just read, Paul and Barnabas, who were companions in the Lord's work, had what turned out to be a life and ministry-altering argument. This morning, with the Lord's help, I'm going to preach a message from this text here titled, "Is It Worth It?" Is it worth it? And in the beginning of this message, before I really get to the place where I want to make some practical application, there are three things that I want us to notice from the passage of Scripture that we just read. Three things that I want you to notice about this argument that took place between these two good, godly servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that I want us to notice here is in verses 36 through the beginning of verse 39, and that's what I call the reason for the argument. The reason for the argument. Why was it that Paul and Barnabas had this argument? Well, look again with me at the passage. Verse 36 says, "And some days after..." This is some days after they had spent some time in the church in Antioch after their first missionary journey. If you remember, Paul and Barnabas had been picked out by the members of the church in Antioch, especially had been picked out by the Holy Spirit to go out and to preach the gospel in different places. And they had gone and done so and then returned to the church in Antioch. And after they were there for some time. After some days, it says in verse 36, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Paul wanted to go back to the places they had already been and check on the ones they had preached the word of God to. Verse 37 says, and Barnabas determined. He determined. This was a determination that he made within himself. And he believed that Paul ought to share in that same determination. He believed that Paul ought to feel the same way that he felt about this situation. So Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. This is John Mark, and Barnabas determined that John Mark should go with them on this second missionary journey. But how did Paul feel about John Mark going along with them? In verse 38, it says this. But Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Barnabas believed he should go. Paul believed that he should not go. And really, I can understand why each man felt the way that he did. I can understand why each man took the position that they took. Barnabas, for example, his name means son of consolation. That's what his name means when you interpret that name. So it was just kind of in his character, in his way of being, to give Mark this opportunity to go along with them. If you remember, it was Barnabas that helped the saints in the church at Jerusalem accept Paul after Paul had gotten saved. When Paul first went up to Jerusalem, the Bible says that the saints there in Jerusalem were afraid of Paul, and rightly so, because of how Paul was and what he did before he got saved. But Barnabas kind of took him under his wing and introduced him to the apostles and got the saints there to accept Paul into their number. So this was just kind of the way Barnabas was. He was that sort of man to reach out to a person, to give them a chance, to give them a second chance, to give them an opportunity to do something. And also, whenever you read in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, a book that Paul wrote later on, verse number 10, you find out that Mark was Barnabas's nephew. So this is family here. John Mark is family. It's his sister's son, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. So I can understand why Barnabas felt like it was necessary for John Mark to go along. He just kind of had that spirit about him, and this is family. So his position is, hey, we need to bring Mark along. We need to let him go on this trip. But I can also understand why Paul had the position that he had. I can understand why Paul did not think it was a good idea for John Mark to go alone. And the reason I say that is because when they left to go on their first missionary journey, those of you that have been here for our Sunday school might remember this. When they left to go on their first missionary journey, guess who went with them? Guess who was one of the guys that pulled out with them when they left from the church in Antioch to go on their first missionary journey? John Mark was one of the men that went along with them. But after he had been with them for a while, for whatever reason, and the Bible doesn't specify a reason, but for whatever reason, the Bible tells us back in Acts chapter 13, verse 13, that he decided to leave them and go back to Jerusalem. And that's why it says what it does here in Acts chapter 15, verse 38. Notice what it says again there. But Paul thought not good to take him with them. Why did you feel that way, Paul? Why did you think it wasn't a good idea for him to go with y'all? Well, what does he say? What does it say? Who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Can you kind of understand why Paul had the position he did? He'd gone out with them the first time, but when he went the first time, He did not prove himself to be faithful. He did not prove himself to be reliable, somebody that they could depend on. When they needed him to press on and go with them to the work, the Bible says that he departed from them and went not with them to the work. Paul believed it wasn't a good idea because this was a man who had not proved himself to be trustworthy in the ministry. So I can understand why both men had the position they had. For Barnabas, that was just kind of his nature, giving him a second chance. That's family. For Paul, hey, we need somebody we can depend on. We need somebody trustworthy, somebody that's not going to jump ship or bail out on us when we really need them to help us in the work of the ministry. I can understand why each man felt the way they did. And it's very obvious from what I read that both of these men thought they were right. Amen. Both of them believed they were right in the position they had, and neither one, it's obvious, was willing to give any ground one way or the other. Barnabas was determined, John Mark needs to go with us. Paul was determined, John Mark does not need to go with us. Both men thought they were right. Both men were not willing to give any ground in either direction whatsoever. They had made their mind up. Both were very stubborn and steadfast in their position. And what was the result? What happened because of these men having their position and not being willing to give any ground? Well, what happened was an argument. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 39. It says in the beginning of that verse, and the contention. The word contention means, by definition, an argument, a debate, a dispute. So they have an argument. The contention was so sharp between them. It's clear here that emotions ran high. That after a while of the back and forth and trying to convince the one and the other that Mark needed to go or didn't need to go, they got upset with one another. And they had an argument developed here between these two men that had been together in the ministry for a good period of time. Two men who were godly men, good men, servants of the Lord. Both men loved God. Both men had a burden for souls. Both men loved each other. They had enjoyed each other's companionship and fellowship for a long time, but what you see is each man had their position, and they would not give any ground, and so emotions ran high, and they got upset with each other. An argument is what took place here. Now, what are they arguing about? Let's just try to put this thing in perspective here. They're arguing about whether or not Mark should go with them, right? They're not arguing about doctrine, are they? They're not arguing about the truth of the gospel. They're not arguing about whether the Bible is right or wrong, or the salvation of lost souls, or the establishing of churches and making sure that things go the way they're supposed to in a church. They're not arguing about any of those things. What are they arguing about? They're arguing about whether or not John Mark should go with them on the trip. And listen, I'm not saying that issue was totally irrelevant and completely unimportant. I believe it had some validity, but I don't believe it was worth what happened as a result of this argument. I do not believe. And that brings me to a second thing that I want you to notice here. Not only the reason for the argument, but what I call the rift caused by the argument. Look here again, Acts chapter 15, verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them. And this does show you, by the way, that good, godly, spiritual people can get upset with one another. We're not talking here about two folks that are polar opposites, two people who one's living for God and one's not living for God, or two people that are lost and have no regard for the Lord or the church or the Bible or anything like that. We're talking about two godly men here, people that love God, that love the Lord, that believe the scripture, that had a burden for souls. These two men, the Bible says, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. That's a rift. A rift is a division. It's a crack. It's when things are split apart. What came as a result of this argument? These two men getting upset, one having his position, the other having his position, and they're arguing about it, neither one willing to give any ground. What happens? What happens here is a rift is caused. These two men go in completely different directions and are no longer working together in the ministry that God called those two men specifically into. No longer together. Look at what it says, verse 39. The end of verse 39. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. He went one direction with Mark. He was determined. It's what it said back up in verse 37. Barnabas was determined. He was determined. That thing right there is what causes a whole lot of arguments. I'm just determined. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. I've made up my mind. Bless God, I am determined. This is the way it's going to be. That thing is what causes a lot of problems. And he's determined, so whenever he goes his direction, you know who he takes with him? He takes his nephew. He takes Mark, and he sails off to Cyprus. What about Paul? The Bible says, verse 40, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Here's two fellas. Y'all believe they were friends? Yes. They weren't just people that worked together in the ministry. They were two men that were fellow laborers that worked together in the ministry. God had picked them two out specifically from all of the people there in the church of Antioch, had put them together and sent them out to the work of the ministry. But I believe they were much more than just fellow laborers in the ministry. I believe there was a relationship that existed between Paul and Barnabas. They were friends. They loved each other. They had been together for a long time. And now, here's one sailing off this way. Here's one sailing off this way. A rift was caused by the argument. And that brings me to a third thing that I want to say. The reason for the argument, the rift caused by the argument, and then last of all, the result of the argument. What's the result here? Well, obviously there's the result that they departed asunder. One went this direction and the other went this direction. There's that obvious result. But there's an even greater, far-reaching result that happened because of this argument. And that is the result that I don't find anywhere in the Bible, anywhere in the book of Acts, or any of Paul's writings, where these two men ever got back together. You don't find it. Matter of fact, from this point on in the book of Acts, Barnabas is never mentioned again. And we read a lot more about Paul as we go on in the book of Acts, but Barnabas' name is never mentioned again in the book of Acts. Once he takes John Mark and he sails off unto Cyprus, the Bible is silent. It doesn't say anything else in Acts about Barnabas at all. Nothing at all. You don't find any record whatsoever that these two men ever got together. So they didn't just have a little riff and an argument and one go over here for a while and one go over here for a while and then they get back together and sort it out and everything's fine and they go on with the ministry. The far-reaching result here is that two men who were companions and friends had an argument and they split up and they never got back together ever again. As far as we know. No record. No record of any reconciliation. No record of any reunion between these two men of God. You don't find any record of how one reached out to the other in an attempt to get things resolved. You don't find any of that in the Bible. As far as we know, from this point forward, Paul and Barnabas went their separate ways, serving God as they felt led of the Lord, but they never came back together and got things patched up for from this incident that transpired in their life. Now, I want to make a little application here. Just want to talk to you this morning. Why in the world am I bringing all this out? Well, first of all, because I believe this is what the Lord put on my heart. Second of all, because we see, by we I mean all of us, not just people here, but people outside of this church, we see or hear about this same scenario playing itself out far too often. Would you agree? We see it or we hear about it playing itself out far too often. And not only that, but it is highly likely that there are some people here today who have or are currently living out the scenario that I am talking about here in this text. It's very likely there's somebody here right now who has or is right now living out this scenario. There is someone that you are at odds with, that you were at one time at peace with. Somebody that you had a relationship with. Maybe it was a friend, maybe it was a family member, I don't know. But you were at peace with this person. There was a relationship there, just like with Paul and Barnabas. You were friends with them. You cared about them. They cared about you. You laughed together. You cried together. You went on vacations together. You spent time together. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Somebody that meant a lot to you, not just some person that you met at Walmart and said hey and went on about your business. I'm talking about somebody you had developed a relationship with over time. You had that kinship with them. You were basically on the same page as far as your likes and your dislikes. And I'm not just talking about worldly things, but even spiritual things. You had basically and still have basically the same belief system. Maybe even went to church with them. I don't know. But you were at peace and there was a great relationship there. You enjoyed their company, just being with them. You just enjoyed being with them. When you wanted to hang out with somebody, that's somebody you dialed up on your phone. You go, hey, you want to go do something together. You just liked being in their presence. They were a blessing to you. They lifted your spirits. They made you feel better when you were feeling down. You know anybody I'm talking about? That's how it was. But it's not that way anymore. Something happened. And a rift has occurred. Just like with Paul and Barnabas, these good friends that love one another and love God and serve the Lord together, they were together. And then this happened and they went their separate ways and we don't find where they ever got back together. And perhaps there's somebody in your life that at one time you were at peace with them and had a great relationship and everything was good, but something happened and a rift has developed and now you have basically no contact or no contact at all with that person anymore. You're not with them. They're not with you. Y'all don't talk on the phone or face-to-face. You don't go anywhere. You don't do anything. Again, it could be a friend. It could be a family member. Whatever the case, a rift has happened and y'all have gone your separate ways. You're not together anymore. And if you would tell the truth this morning, you miss having that relationship with that person. If your pride would let you, you would say, man, I missed them. They were such good friends. And I loved them so much. And I wish we could get back together. If your pride would let you, you'd say that. But there's a problem. What I want to ask you this morning, here's the question. It's the same as the title for the sermon. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Whatever it is that you are allowing to keep you from having that kind of relationship with that person, Is it worth it? I'm telling you, this is how I feel, okay? I do not believe that whether John Mark went or didn't go was worth these two men getting so mad with each other that they had to part asunder and go their separate ways. Now, I do believe that there are some issues so critical and so important that you might have to break fellowship with somebody. I do believe that. I believe there are some things so critical that you cannot afford, spiritually speaking, to give any ground. You've got to stand your ground irregardless of what happens. If the person gets mad and they don't want to be your friend anymore, you just got to stand your ground. That's just the way it is. If not, we're just a bunch of limp noodles going through life with no conviction at all. You got to have some convictions. You got to draw some lines in the dirt. You know what I'm talking about? And you got to say, this right here is critical. It's absolutely essential, and I'm not going to step over this line for anybody. I'm not going to step over it for my husband, for my wife, for my children, for my job, for a friend, whatever the case. Here's where I stand, and I'm going to stand here, and if they don't want to be my friend, I'm sorry about that, but I'm not going to compromise. I believe there are some issues that are that important. Okay. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. Because the vast, vast majority of the time, you listen to me, the issues that divide people are not that important. They're not worth it. So I ask you this morning, it's whatever it is, why you don't have that relationship with that person anymore, is it worth it? It's what happened. Is your feelings being hurt? And perhaps they did hurt your feelings. Perhaps they said something or did something that hurt your feelings. Can I just give you a little helpful advice this morning? Get over it. Get over it. Quit sucking your pacifier. Quit being a baby about things, because unless you hadn't figured it out, you are aware of the fact that you've hurt a lot of people's feelings. In fact, you probably have hurt the feelings of the one that you're upset with for hurting your feelings. Hey, when you have a relationship, let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. I have a half-brother. I didn't meet him until I was 17 years old. I'm my mom's only child, and she says hallelujah to that. She has a brother who had a son, Dennis. Y'all know Brother Dennis. Brother Dennis and myself grew up within 100 yards of each other. We were more like brothers than cousins, and that's the God's honest truth. We're best friends, always have been. But I'm going to tell you something. There's been a many a day through the years where me and him had some knockdown dragouts. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, there's been some times when I was as mad at that man as I have ever been at anybody in this world. And likewise, I pulled a gun on him one time. I wouldn't have shot him for nothing in the world, but I wanted him to think I would. But you know what? I'm 43. I think he's 45 now. We're still best friends. As mad as we've got at one another, and he's hurt my feelings. And I'm not just talking about when we were growing up in recent years. He's done things that's hurt my feelings. I know that I've hurt his feelings. But whatever it was, I'm telling you, it was not worth me not having him in my life. And he feels the same way. So you know what we do? We get over it. We just get over it. We say we're sorry and we go on. We put it behind us. Later on down the road, ladies, we don't throw it back up in each other's face anymore. Men, you should have said amen right there. So I'm asking, is it worth it? Is your feelings getting hurt? So they hurt your feelings a little bit. They didn't do something just exactly like you thought, and you took it personally, and there's a very good possibility they weren't intending to hurt you at all. Sometimes we misunderstand things. We We misread things. One of my professors told us in college, if something can be misunderstood, it will be misunderstood. And sometimes you just misread things and you take it all personal and you act like they did that just to hurt you, and that may be the farthest thing from their mind. They may not have intended to hurt you at all. What they did may not have been directed at you at all. So is your feelings being hurt worth not having them in your life? I don't think so. Is it worth it? Is your proving you're right worth not having that person in your life? Because I'm going to tell you, that's what a lot of it boils down to. Just pride and proving you're right. That's why sometimes husbands and wives go to bed mad with each other at night. Instead of saying, I love you and I want us to go to bed on good terms. Because the husband or the wife or both of them think, I'm right in this, bless God, and I'm going to prove I'm right in it. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. I see some of you elbowing one another right now. Is it worth it? Is it worth that time where you're not enjoying each other's company and fellowship just to prove that you're right? Can you not give just a little bit in here? Maybe you are right. Maybe you are right, but you don't have to prove you're right all the time. You don't have to do that. You can give a little ground just so that the relationship can be what it needs to be. So is it worth it? Is you proving you're right worth ruining a relationship over? Is it worth having a person that you love not be a part of your life anymore? I don't believe it is. Don't worry about proving you're right all the time. Is it worth it? Is your stubbornness and your pigheadedness worth destroying a relationship over? I put a little comment out about the ladies throwing things up, but I'm going to tell you who's really got a problem with this stubbornness, this pigheadedness. That'd be us men. All right, ladies, where you at? Us men pretty stubborn sometimes, aren't we? Pig-headed about things. I'm right. I know I'm right, and I'm determined that she's not going to move me an inch on this thing. Well, so what if you don't move an inch? Is it worth the problems that it's causing in your marriage? Is it worth it? No, it's not. It's not worth it. And one day down the road when things get really, 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 really bad, you're going to realize that it wasn't worth it. Wasn't worth it. So is your stubbornness worth it? Is the issue worth it? Is that issue something so critical that you've got to end your relationship with that person? Most of the time it isn't. Every now and again it may be, but most of the time it's not. It's us making, as we like to say, a mountain out of a molehill. It's us blowing something way out of proportion and making it a far bigger issue than it really is. Is losing that relationship worth you holding on to that issue? I don't think so. I don't think so. Is it worth not having their friendship? Is it worth losing your spiritual influence in their lives? Because here's what I've seen happen. I've seen folk develop a relationship. I'm talking about a saved person develop a relationship to some degree with a person who's not saved for the purpose of helping that individual come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then somewhere along the way in that situation, this person who's saved gets hurt or offended by the person that's lost. And they make such an issue out of it that they get away from this individual that they've been trying to witness to, and they don't have anything to do with them anymore. And so no longer do they themselves have the opportunity to lead this person to Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this, if you're in a situation like that, is that person dying in their sins and going to a devil's hell worth it for you to hold on to that little trivial, petty thing that you're upset about? It isn't worth it, I can tell you that. Perhaps it's somebody that's already saved and they're backslidden, you trying to help them get back in fellowship with God or get back in church. Is it worth it? Is it worth it for you to isolate them and have nothing to do with them so that they won't come to church and they won't get back? No, it's not worth it. You need to get over it and go on. Last of all, let me ask you this. Whatever it is it worth hindering your own fellowship with the Lord over? Because listen to me, folks. If you're full of anger, I'm talking about unrighteous anger, and full of bitterness towards somebody because of what they did or what you heard they did or what you think they did, whatever the case, then I'm telling you, you can't have the relationship with the Lord that you need to have. Bitterness, unforgiveness, envy, resentment, all of that stuff grieves the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord is not pleased with that. And it will, as you know already, hinder your fellowship with the Lord. Now, folks, there should be nothing in this world so important to us that we are willing to forfeit our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So is it worth it? No, it's not. The best advice I can give you this morning on these little trivial things or stuff that's not really, really all that important, here, best advice, just get over it. Reach out to that person. If there's somebody in your life like I'm talking about, give them a call this afternoon. Reach out to them. Try to make reconciliation. Try to bring that person back because you know sitting where you are this morning that your life was happier having that person in your life. You know you enjoyed their fellowship. You know you enjoyed their companionship. Reach out to them. Try. Be the better man. Be the better woman. Don't sit around and say, well, if they want to talk to me, they'll call me. That's just your pride talking is all that is. You reach out. You know what this Bible says? It says that if you come to the altar and you realize that someone is offended with you, you know what you're supposed to do? You're not supposed to say, well, they need to get right with God and I'm going to wait for them to come to me. It says you leave your gift on that altar and you go be reconciled to that person. That means you reach out and try to make that. Your life will be better for it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Word of God, for the truth. Thank you for the people you bring into our lives that are such a blessing to us, Lord. For all the relationships that you let us enjoy with brothers and sisters in Christ, with our families. Thank you, Lord, for each one. And Lord, help us to do everything we can to maintain those relationships. If there's people here today and those relationships have ended for trivial reasons, things that are not really worth it, help them, Lord, to make it right. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.